Billy Brim, the voice of One Witness Radio Broadcast. I'm back again this week with my two daughters, Shelley.
Hey, Mom.
And Brenda.
Hello.
And we read to you last week. We absolutely have just come out of a wonderful meeting, and we are convinced. And I want to tell you about a meeting at EMIC, Eagle Mountain International Church. That's where George and Terry Pearson's pastor. We had on September 18th a Holy Ghost meeting. And if that's still up, it would be good for you to watch it. It's still up, Randy. And Phil Driscoll came there. The Spirit of God moved. It was an amazing thing. And my daughter Brenda was saying what impressed her about it is so much order. There is divine order in the Holy Ghost. Mm-hmm. And people are sometimes afraid to have a Holy Ghost meeting because they think things are not going to be in order. If it is the Holy Spirit, it will be in order. Mm-hmm. As Sister Wilberforth Etter says in this that we read all last week, there is law in Holy Ghost meetings and system and order, and neither the Spirit nor God's Word allows a lawless freedom to rule. The Lord Jesus is present, and we should allow him to use the others as readily as us without our getting in his way and being hurt and offended if we cannot have our way. So she did a wonderful teaching on how to cooperate with the Holy Spirit in the meeting. Now, Sister Woodworth Etter was known in the late 1800s for the power of God in her meetings. Actually, if you can get a hold of her book, Signs and Wonders, and somebody publishes that, I've forgotten who, but it will go meeting by meeting, and it will tell you of the power in those meetings. Now, you know that we knew Brother Halverson, Brother Phil Halverson. He's one of those old-time prayers that are featured in our Secrets of Intercession, Secrets of Prayer and Power meeting in L.A. He was a little boy, and his mother was a believer. His father was not. But his father let Sister Woodworth Etter, I believe it was this way, at least she had a meeting very close to their property or on their property. He was just a little guy, Brother Halverson. And in fact, he couldn't speak English yet. His mother tongue was Norwegian. And his mother was having a prayer meeting at her house, at their house. And it was just after a Sister Woodworth Etter meeting, when Sister Woodworth Etter had come up in Wisconsin and put up a big tent. And thousands of people would come to those meetings because of the power, because there was a demonstration of the power. That's what's been lacking so long, is a demonstration to this world that God is God. And Brother Halverson said, I was 5 years old. I was sitting on my dad's knee. My dad was smoking his pipe. And we were like apart, just observing the meeting. And there were two Irish boys there. And they got filled with the Holy Ghost. All this is just after the Woodworth Etter meeting. They got filled with the Holy Ghost that day. And he said they began speaking perfect English. And he said, I knew those Irish boys did not know any English. But that was the tongue that they got, the Irish boys. They were Irish. They did not speak English. And when they were baptized in the Holy Ghost, they spoke English. And he said, I remember being impressed. This is real. This is the power of God. And of course, we know that Brother Halverson had it in his life. So, Brenda, do you have some more from Sister Woodworth Etter's meetings?
Yes, I was going to. There was two significant. One was a conversion and a healing, and of a man named Garlick and
Garlock.
Yes, Garlock.
Well, that's Garlock. That's, yeah, Mr. Garlock, who later became a, yeah, great missionary.
Yes. Well, his 13-year-old son, Henry, who later distinguished himself as a missionary in Africa.
Oh, yeah. The Ruth Ann Garlock, you know. That's her father-in-law.
So that's, this is kind of what I'm going to start here. One of the significant events that took place at Framington went unnoticed at the time, for the conversion of a certain man from Woodbury, Connecticut, appeared to be no different from others during the month of August 1913. Yet the salvation and deliverance from alcohol and serious illness of E.H. Garlock not only turned his life around, but also was instrumental in shaping the future of his 10 children, including a 13-year-old Henry, who would later distinguish himself as a missionary in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
Our story begins during the spring of 1913. Little happiness could be found in the Garlock farmhouse near Woodbury. E.H. Garlock was addicted to gambling and alcohol and suffering from illness. He went to the meetings. At the close of the only service he attended, Garlock responded to the altar call Woodworth gave. After Woodworth and others prayed for him, E.H. Garlock found himself in a familiar Pentecostal position, prostrate in the straw, where he remained for more than 2 hours. Henry will never forget the next day when his father returned to the farmhouse at Woodbury, a completely changed man. He was delivered from alcohol, gambling, and was healed of his physical problems. And in the middle of the night, E.H. Garlock experienced a drama that not only affected his own life, but it seemed by the hour, but also his family for generations to follow. He did not remember anyone speak to him in tongues at the camp, so he had little knowledge of the Pentecostal experience. But the night he reached home and retired, Henry recalled he woke the family up in the middle of the night speaking in tongues, which continued for several days. Even the farmhouse seemed to be shaken by the spirit. As a 13-year-old, Henry had misgivings about what was happening, thinking that the crowd at Framingham had hypnotized his father and wondering whether he would ever speak English again. Henry soon saw that a change had taken over his father. He prayed continually and started reading the Book of Acts. I soon saw that his experience was real and started seeking for the baptism in the Spirit, which I received on Christmas Day, 1913. Woodworth would never learn the full impact the deliverance made on the Connecticut family, which has had well-known ministers and missionaries in each generation since E.H. Garlock, who was touched by the Holy Spirit's power at Framingham. And then here's another one.
Well, now let's talk about that just a little bit. I was just at a meeting at Tracy Harris's in Alexandria, and Ruth Ann Garlock was there. And Ruth Ann and her husband were editors. She worked for Oral Roberts, and then she worked for Christ for the Nations. And Ruth Ann wrote Henry Garlock was her father's.
That's his account.
Her husband's father.
Yeah, Henry.
And he was a great, great man in Africa. And she wrote a book about his life, Before They Kill and Eat You. And she was telling me about the power of God he came in under. Well, she didn't mention to me that it was Sister Woodworth Edder's meeting.
Huh.
So that's very interesting that you would take that out and read it right now. Power marked her meetings. Power. Do you have something else there?
Yes. There's another man named Benjamin Denton, and he is the same. He has the same kind of... His healing went generation to generation also. And he went to live with his aunt in Rochester, where he was confined to a bed. His lungs were bleeding, and his voice was nothing more than a whisper. There, while he was in this hopeless and wakened condition, he received a book from a friend that was to be the means of his healing and sprung his faith. After reading Signs and Wonders,
that's that book,
Denton wrote, "I found Jesus was the same yesterday, today, and forever, and all things are possible to those who believe in God." He requested a prayer cloth from Woodworth. He was miraculously healed. He went outdoors and sawed up an old apple tree just to test the miracle. Denton's son, Charles, who was associated with the Assemblies of God headquarters for many years, remembers that in 1929, 11 years after the healing, his father took the family back to Ray Brook State Hospital, where the medical records were kept. The doctors who had examined him in 1918 were amazed and called young doctors and nurses to see the man they sent home to die in perfect health and doing hard physical labor. The healings of E.H. Garlock and Benjamin Denton are only two cases of the reported hundreds who received healing in Woodworth's meetings during the early years of the Pentecostal movement. These healings, plus the conversions and the Pentecostal experience, established Woodworth as an important figure in the movement. It is impossible to measure the influence she had on the movement from 1912 to her death in 1924. Many who were converted, healed, or received the Pentecostal blessing would carry the gospel to unnumbered people around the world.
Maria Woodworth Edder, Brenda's reading from the book For Such a Time as This by Wayne Warner. And we're offering that book to you for $10. Now, listen to her, and Shelley read this. Listen to this. She read this last week. We read you her sermon on how to cooperate with the Holy Spirit in a meeting. She knew how to cooperate with the Holy Spirit and his gifts. We cannot do without the gifts. Now, listen to what she said, considering that. Whatever's for God's glory, that is what he wants to do. It is for his glory to heal his saints. It shows how much he loves them and manifests his power. One case of healing in the name of Jesus, accompanied by the knowledge of sins forgiven and the peace which passes all understanding, is sufficient to demonstrate the divinity and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and therefore convict and convince sinners. Hallelujah. Let us consider and see what is for God's glory and ask for it, and he will do it. Our will and asking brings it. It is God's will to do it if it is our will for it to be done. Don't ask if you really don't want it. If you do, ask in confidence. If you're going to draw back when the Lord begins to answer you, use you to answer your own petition, how can you desire it? If you have gifts from God but lose your experience and try to work them out of yourself, I've heard Brother Hagin talk about people who had gifts of God and they lost their experience in God. They didn't have their communion kept up to date. Mm-hmm. And he would go back and watch them in meetings. He said, now they're doing out of the soulish realm what they used to do out of the spirit. Mm-hmm. So this is a matter. It's very orderly. You have to live in the spirit. You have to walk in the spirit. You have to do all those things that Sister Woodworth Edder wrote in this sermon, which I got from the book Miracles and Marvels, and is not in print today. But I went and got it out of the Pentecostal Library at Oral Roberts University, and we'll be glad to send you the entire sermon if you just phone us at 1-800-972-3447, or you can call us, write us at Box 40, Branson, Missouri, 65615. And remember, we're offering the book for $10. Maria Woodworth Edder, for such a time as this. Now, she knew how to have the gifts of the Holy Spirit working in her meetings. And tomorrow, we're going to talk about the difference between the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. I was recently in a meeting, and in that meeting, there were a lot of young people there, and one of them stood up and said, what we need is the fruit of the Spirit. We don't so much need the gifts of the Spirit. We need the gifts of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit, and the gifts operate best in the fruit of love. We're going to talk about tomorrow what is the difference and how we must and must have both of them. And so we're going to be talking this week also about the operation of the Holy Ghost in Pop and Mama Goodwin's meetings, in W.I. Evans' meetings. We're going to be looking at the Holy Ghost, what Jesus said to Brother Hagin about psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And we want you to be with us. Remember to request from us how to cooperate with the Holy Spirit in meetings. Our meetings are to be, as Donald G. said, the meetings of the church are to be marked by manifestations of the indwelling temple, indwelling spirit in his temple. We are the temple filled with God. We are filled individually, and we meet together where the Holy Ghost reveals. Shalom.
Shalom.